The Trump administration has gotten the Congress to go along with a defense budget for this year that's a solid 14% more than that of 2017. Even so, my next guest argues there's no getting around the trade-offs among readiness, force expansion, and modernization. Mark Kantsian is senior advisor in the International Security Program at the Center for Strategic and International Studies. He's taken a deep look at the 2019 budget, and he joins me now. Mr. Kantsian, good to have you on.
Well, thanks for having me.
And why don't we start with the election results, which divide the Congress? What could that do to all of the projections that we understand about the defense budget?
Well, the defense budget is much more uncertain than it was even a month ago, and the election is one reason. And I think you're going to see the effects in three areas: programs, the top line, and oversight. And on programs, there are some programs that the Democrats have been very skeptical about, particularly nuclear programs. They've questioned the need, for example, of a low-yield nuclear weapon. They're also very positive about certain cultural and social programs. For instance, I think they'll weigh in on transgenders. And they've also been skeptical about arms sales to Saudi Arabia, particularly in the wake of the Khashoggi murder. And then you're going to see some uncertainty on the top line. In the last couple of years, the Democrats have gone along with increases to defense, but have demanded what they call parity, that is, equal increases in domestic programs.
Sure.
And I expect that to continue. The uncertainty is whether the Democratic left will demand certain policy riders along with the budget increases. And they might ask for policy riders on abortion, about women's rights, about arms sales. It's hard to say. Now, it looks like the Democrats will have a majority, but not a large majority, maybe a dozen seats or so. It's not the 50 seats that they had back in 2009. So they may not be able to push that hard on these other riders. And the third thing is on oversight. Democrats have been very critical of the Republicans for not being more aggressive in their oversight of defense budget and of the Trump administration's policies. So I think you're going to see much more of that. There'll be hearings on the use of force and the authorization for the use of force. There are going to be hearings, I think, on contracts and contracting and cost growth, and certainly some on Yemen and arms sales to Saudi Arabia.
Sure. So that's three big wild cards. And then there is also the one that the president himself has thrown into the table here, which is that 4% cut that he's asking all federal agencies to budget for. And that presumably includes the Pentagon. And so that's means they're working on two budgets at once, as we understand.
Absolutely. And this was totally unexpected. And I think it was totally unexpected to everyone. It was unexpected to the department. It was unexpected to the Office of Management and Budget, where I came out of. But it's now the level that DOD is building a budget to. So they already built a budget to this $733 billion. Now, that's national security. It's DOD plus the war funding, plus the nuclear programs, and the new budget will be to $700. So it's $33 billion lower than what they had been planning on. Now, that's still a lot of money, and you can do a lot of things in national security. This isn't the end of the world, but you can't do everything, and you certainly can't implement the strategy that they laid out just a year ago, because that strategy is very forward-leaning. It talks about presence in three theaters, Europe, the Middle East, and the Pacific. I think what they're going to try to do is to hold readiness, to protect readiness. They'll freeze force expansion, maybe even dial that back a little. It'll be hard, though, to start new programs. And those new programs are the ones they've been counting on to provide the high-end capabilities that you would need in a conflict with an adversary like China or Russia.
We're speaking with Mark Kantsian, senior advisor in the International Security Program at the Center for Strategic and International Studies. And among those new programs, there are some that are in development. There is a modernization of the nuclear triad, not the warheads themselves, but the delivery mechanisms that are just in the development stage, competition stage. And then there's that new bomber. Do you see those as being in jeopardy now?
I think some of them will be. The one that's safest is the submarine. It's called the Columbia class. It's a replacement for the Trident submarine. And there's widespread support for that leg of the triad because it's the most survivable. The bomber also has a lot of support. It might get delayed because we have a bomber force that could be extended. The B-52s have been flying almost forever, and we'll fly well into the 21st century. The ICBM leg, however, is much more controversial. There's a program to replace the Minuteman ICBMs called the GBSD, Ground-Based Strategic Deterrent, and I wouldn't be surprised if the Democrats push back on that, try to delay that. There's also a cruise missile program. It's called a long-range standoff weapon that the Democrats have questioned as being unnecessary. And then finally, there's low-yield nuclear weapons. Republicans in their modernization program had included, and the Democrats have questioned that also.
And what about some of the really cutting-edge things like drone swarms, directed energy, high-velocity projectiles? These are things that are mostly experimental at this stage, but which military brass say are the kinds of things we'll need in the not-too-distant future, because Russia and China are also working on them.
They are, and I think some of those you will see fielded, particularly things that are munitions. There are some long-range precision munitions that are in development, and those are relatively easy to field because you're leveraging existing launch platforms. But really, cutting-edge programs, I think, are going to have a hard time getting some traction, because if the budget's coming down, there's going to be a lot of pressure to protect existing programs and existing modernization programs, and it will be very difficult to squeeze major, large new acquisition programs into the budget.
And what about the Navy, which has a, right now, congressional policy is eventually a 355-ship Navy? There's barely enough shipbuilding capacity now to get there in any reasonable time, because you've got to get the new ones on before the old ones rust out. So what do you think might happen there?
Well, I think the administration will probably stick with its goal of 355 ships, but their ability to achieve that is going to be pushed further and further into the future. The Navy has really been okay with that. That is, with the additional shipbuilding that they've been able to do the last couple of years, they're getting to a higher level than they had planned to. But the the prospective cuts to the budget will stretch that out. They may only get to the 320s in terms of ships instead of getting up to the 355 that they had targeted.
And pretty soon, once the new Congress has taken its seat, shortly thereafter, the administration will deliver 2020 plans. What do you expect to happen then?
There's a lot of uncertainty, and it depends on how this debate about the defense top line comes out. What I'm expecting is that there will be a showdown in the Oval Office between Mattis and likely OMB, the director there, Mulvaney. Mattis will come in with his two budgets, the one at the 733 and the one at the 700, and he will say, "Mr. President, I cannot execute your strategy and do the things you asked me to do at this lower budget level." And then it will fall to the president to decide whether he really wants to cut the budget or is willing to go back up and say, I see your point, and we'll go with this higher budget because I don't want to go back on the kinds of commitments I've made." And I would also note that there's an analogy here to the showdown in the Reagan administration, when Stockman and Weinberger confronted each other over the defense buildup in very similar circumstances. So we'll be watching for that. And that's likely to happen in early December.
And now, you've been doing this report for a number of years at CSIS. Is this the most uncertain you've seen it in a long time?
Well, it seems like every year is uncertain. Last year, of course, we had a new administration. The Trump administration had not made it clear how large the defense buildup would be. So there was a lot of uncertainty then. A year before, of course, we were facing a presidential election, and there was a lot of uncertainty again about what the future would look like, particularly since in the Obama administration, they had planned on one strategy, that is pulling forces and emphasis out of Europe and the Middle East and moving to Asia, but then they were dragged back into both theaters. So it seems like every year is very uncertain.
I guess life is uncertain, all the more so if you're a military leader. Mark Kantsian is senior advisor in the International Security Program at the Center for Strategic and International Studies. Thanks so much for joining me.
Well, thanks for having me.
We'll post a link to his report and to this interview at federalnewsnetwork.com/Federal Drive. Subscribe to the Federal Drive at iTunes or Podcast One.